It's good to have you guys back. How many of you are excited to be back? Or I guess I should say be here, because some of you aren't back. You're here for the first time. So, all right, so if you're a freshman, this is not a sermon, all right? This is opening chapel. I go through, I set the stage for the semester and for what's taking place. Like next week, I'll do Mark chapter 1, verse 1. We'll launch into it. Today is just different. And so here's what I want to do. I want to start off by welcoming all of our freshmen who are in the house. Before I do that, it's packed. It's going to be packed all week. There's overflow. But once you all get in clinicals and student teaching and chapel skips, not that you ever do that, but once all that stops happening, it'll normalize. We'll keep monitoring it, watching it. And so we get the scans. So just help us out. As you come in and you're coming in for Bible conference and all that type of stuff, if you have seats and you see people looking for seats, invite them over. If your buddies are procrastinators and they show up 5 minutes late for chapel, tough. That's a lesson you need to learn in life. You can't show up. 5 minutes early is on time. On time is late. So I'm just saying. All right. Now, if you're a freshman, stand up. Welcome to Cedarville. It is good to have you here. You can have a seat. Now, if you are back to Cedarville as a sophomore, would you stand up and let us welcome you back to Cedarville? All right, where are my juniors in the house? Do we have any juniors in the house? Y'all stand up. All right. That's awesome. That's really good to have all of y'all back. Oh, did I miss somebody? Who did I miss? Seniors, stand up. Can't believe some of y'all are seniors already. Goodness. Seems like It seems like last week some of y'all were standing up as freshmen. Does it seem that way to y'all too, or just me? Yeah. Yes. Okay. All right. Do we have any super seniors in the house that loved it so much they just needed to come back? All right. All right, so some of you super seniors are also grad students. Do we have grad students in there? Yeah, all right, it's the same group. Yeah, okay. All right, what about our international students who have come a long way from home? If you're international, stand up. Stand up. There you are. All right, awesome. All over. I love it. So good to have you all back. So good to be here. Hey, I've got one verse I want to read, and then we'll do more stuff. We'll talk about summer and all that type of stuff. But one verse that I think, this is what we need to do. It's Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And I just want you to know that's why your faculty and staff are here, is that we want to declare how awesome God is to you in various ways and through classes and discipleship and in the dorms and everything we do. We just want to declare to you how awesome the Lord is. Like, we have walked through life a little bit longer. We've seen the Lord through really hard times and through really good times. And we want to testify to all of you that the Lord is faithful. You can trust him. And then it's going to be your job to own that faith. And then one day you're going to be up here or wherever the Lord sends you, and you're going to be testifying to the next generation the exact same thing. That's the mission. That's the goal. It's not about us. It's all about him. And so if you're in the room right now and you're like having a hard time because mom and dad left and you're a long way away from home and you're struggling, let me just say to you, take it to the Lord. Because God is faithful, you can trust him. Hang in there, persevere, do the hard things. You've got this. It's not unlike generations that have come before you. You can talk to the sophomores, the juniors, and the seniors. I was talking to somebody that's a senior now that when they were a freshman, cried themselves to sleep and didn't want to stay, and mom and dad said, you're staying anyway, and they're like, mom and dad's mean. I don't like mom and dad anymore, and then they said, you're going to tough it out. Next thing you know, sophomore year came. It couldn't wait to be back. Now junior, senior year. And it's like, I can't believe I'm going to be leaving this place. It's a process. It's a hard. And there are no shortcuts. And so hang in there. Tell your friends. Talk to others. Get yourself out there. You say, I don't have any friends. Well, then go meet some people. Like introverts, unite. Let's go. We got to try. All of us. It's hard. The struggle is real, but we need to do it. All right. What'd y'all do this summer? On the count of three, y'all tell me what you did this summer. One, two, three. Oh, that was okay, I guess, but I went to Hawaii. Okay, so before you get me in trouble, like that turtle was chasing me and I was swimming away from it because you're supposed to be a certain amount of feet away from the turtle or they like find you. Like seriously, they take this. They like warned us for like 10 minutes. And I was like, go away, turtle. And I was like, I don't know if this is the Finding Nemo turtle or what, but it was like wanting to kiss me or something. I'm like, no, I'm taken. Move on. I don't even remember what this other thing is on the right that we saw, but anyway, it was fun. We saw these two. Look at this. My wife took that video. She's a pretty good videographer, huh? Can you believe we just... Dolphins were, like, we got in the water with them some, but that was the coolest. That was cool. That was pretty amazing. That wasn't the most amazing thing, though. We went to an island, and you know what was happening on the island? I have officially been on an island with an erupting volcano. Do you know what you do when you're on an island with an erupting volcano? You get in your car and drive as fast as you possibly can to it. Yeah, there's something wrong with me, y'all. Like, we were that close. Like, I was taking family photos. I was doing selfies with lava in the background. And here's what makes it really crazy. You're not gonna trust another thing I say. That guy lost his mind. We walked past steam vents to get to the lava. Like, there's steam coming out of the earth, and my brain is not telling me this is dangerous. There's hot steam coming out of the earth for a reason. It's saying, there's the fence. Get as close as you can, and then turn around and take a selfie. I guess what I was thinking is, if it blows up and you go see Jesus, you already know him. It's a good thing, and so, I mean, you know, I don't know. Anyway, that was pretty cool. So I hope you guys had some cool experiences, too. We were busy not traveling around the world, but we were also busy here on campus. And we were creating some new nice things for you, one of which we happened to call. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. Freshmen coming in years after you or guests on campus are gonna ask you, hey, how do I get to the commons? You gotta know how to tell them. You got to know how to tell them. So, and you also, we need a name for the express, which is the 8 to 11 o'clock at night. Okay, time out. So let me get us out of, I don't really care what you call it. Like I'm going to laugh no matter what. But any marketing students in the house? Advertising, marketing, yeah. You all know that naming your dining restaurant Upchucks is not a good thing to do. So I just need you all to know where to direct other people to, and so you can do that. It for you, especially if you're a junior or senior, it will never change. And as long as you come back and see us and say hello after you graduate, I don't care what you call it. Just come back and see us. That's all we're really after. All right, that's what we want. All right. Yeah. Hey, I'm getting there. Hold up, hold up. I have a slide for that. Be patient. I'm not kidding. I do. This looks amazing. Like, can you give it up to the team that made this happen in the summer? Like, this is pretty phenomenal. You know, I've heard a lot of really good things about the Commons. I have heard one complaint, and I've heard it like three different times from three different groups, so I started asking some others, so I need your help, all right? This is a real question. I need your help. It's not the same. So when I asked, where's the chocolate milk? The response I got was, there's chocolate syrup on the side of the milk. Ooh. And you can put it on ice cream or waffles or other stuff. So here's my real question. Sensing the mood of the room, I'm not very bright. Remember, I drove to a erupting volcano, but I'm smart enough to figure this one out. There's like three milks now, right? There's like whole milk, 2%, and fat-free. All right, so here's my legitimate question. It's which one do I get rid of? Because let's be real. I can't hear you all at one time. We're gonna do this in a democratic way. I'm gonna have you stand up when you want the one that you wanna get rid of. So we're gonna start with whole milk, then 2%, then fat-free. I want you to stand up on the one that you want to never appear in Chuck's again. The dining hall, the Commons again. All right. See, I told y'all there was nothing spiritual about this chapel. We're just having fun, right? All right, if you want to get rid of whole milk, stand up. If you want to get rid of the 2% milk, stand up. Apparently, y'all like the freshman 15. I'm just saying. If y'all want to get rid of the fat-free milk, the skim milk, y'all stand up. He just sent a text message to get rid of the fat-free milk and restore chocolate milk. Right, Chris? Yeah. So, yeah. If that's the biggest problem we have on campus this year, we are in great shape. Like, I'm just saying, that's a pretty easy one. I don't want to hear about the other problems right now. All right, we got a new building coming up. Bolt House Academic Center. Now, I need to be honest with you. So last year at the faculty staff session, I showed them a picture of this building, and I had the words on the slide that said, this is too expensive. I actually showed it to them, and I said, this won't happen. And you know what God did last fall? Is he brought a $15 million anonymous donation that I did not anticipate to actually make this happen. I tell you that because there's probably something in your life right now where you're like, God, can you really do this? It's finances, a job after graduation, summer plans, a guy or a girl, if you're not a freshman, junior, sophomore, seniors. There's something in our lives, right? Like we encounter real difficulties where really in our minds we like question, God, can you really do this? And last fall, we put it before the Lord and asked the Lord to respond and to answer, and the Lord did. And so as this building's going up, I'm just reminded of God's faithfulness, that he has done amazing things, and this building is gonna be absolutely magnificent. We'll not be ready this year. It'll be under construction all this year. We did have the destruction of Williams taken care of before you got here. It's fenced off, yep. And so hopefully it won't be as loud as it could be. I mean, it's loud to build a building though. Like there's gonna be some noise, there's gonna be some dust, there's gonna be some other things, but I'm excited. I think this is gonna be absolutely amazing. That's just gonna be a great area. And we'll be on the balconies, we'll be using it all. And then the brick space that you saw there, we actually have an opportunity for anybody that wants to put their name in that particular, in a brick. So you can do that as a memorial to what the Lord has done here on this campus in your life. You can put your graduating class, your favorite verse, you can do it in honor of somebody. See, I don't know who David Henry is. I don't even think that's a real person, but the beloved students put an honor on this in his honor. So you'll have other opportunities to do that as well. Now, across the street, we also have some new apartments that are going up. Which means we have a mess over there because we're building new apartments and you have to do the drainage and you have to do all of that. So we had to reconstruct some new intramural fields and we had to redo the cross country course. And so all of that is taking place over there. A lot of it's ready, some of it's not ready. These apartments should be ready by next fall. These are gonna be nice. So when you're signing up for your housing, and I don't know when we do that, February, March, April, whatever it is, this will be on your list of options as you do that. And so that means it'll probably be only seniors in there. This will be off-campus apartment housing, and so it will not have the on-campus rules or the same situation as you would have there. We still have rules, but just not those rules. We'll have that lighted crosswalk. So right now we have the parking area across the street. I just want to encourage everybody, take advantage of the lighted crosswalks. Instead of just walking down the side and then just crossing wherever you think it's a good place to cross, let's all use that crosswalk. You can hit that button, that thing lights up the night. And so it lets all of those tractor trailers that are driving way too fast through our village know that there is a human being there and we don't want you to get hit. So let's take advantage of that and utilize that. All right, now if you're wondering, is my tuition paying for that building over there? Well, I already told you there was a gift, but we had a plan to try to raise $175 million. Some of these buildings cost more than we thought they would, so we needed to actually do more than that. Do you know where we were at the end of July? So the Lord is good. He's been really good to us. So we need to praise him. We need to worship him, not just because he's doing stuff like this, but because he's worthy. And we have another announcement to make. You've probably already heard it because we've sent out emails and we've done some other things, but here it is. We are the first Christian university to adopt ChatGPT EDU as a campus-wide solution. So what does that mean? That means you're gonna get an email about 11 o'clock. And in that email, there will be a link that you can click. And if you click that link, or if you, there's other ways to get to it through MyCU and some other ways as well. But with your Cedarville email address, you then will have access to ChatGPT 5.0, the latest version, and we'll all have access. It's gonna be in a closed network. So if you're worried, all right, I'm gonna submit an essay for something, but I'm gonna publish that thing as a best-selling book one day and I don't want it training the open models or I don't wanna have to worry about that. You don't have to. It's a closed network. And so we're able to do that. It'll point back. Eventually, when we get everything plugged in and everything going right, it'll work with Canvas. It can point back to your faculty members' notes so we can create some tutors and other things like that that'll be helpful as well. It's not that we don't have concerns. We do have concerns, but we think there's good reasons to do it. One of the good reasons to do it is I don't think it's going away. And if it's gonna be here, the best thing we can do is start thinking biblically about how do we think about AI in our culture, because if you're gonna have to deal with it for the rest of your life, let's get all of the best minds together and let's think about this from a biblical worldview and let's address it head on. Number two, I think we need to train ourselves. I need to learn. I've been spending all summer trying to get up to speed on AI. And all right, here's my contention. Most of you in this room probably know a lot more about AI than I do. And so I would tell you all the things I learned this summer, but here's what I think your response would be. Okay, boomer, welcome to the party. Because I think you're already there. I think you've already been using it. And so I We're trying to make sure that we provide you with the tools you need so that you'll be equipped and prepared when you walk across the graduation stage to go into a workforce and to use this wisely. So we want to use it across the curriculum and across the campus, not just for an isolated few. And so we want to make sure this is broadly used. It's going to take time. Our faculty and our staff have to get up to speed and understand what it will do. So we're not only having access to it, we're also having training about how to use it. And then as we have access and training, I think we're going to figure out ways to use it that I can't even think of right now. You're going to have some really smart people that'll come up with some new ideas and say, oh, we should do this and we should do that. And we're going to say, oh, that's great. I'm really glad that you're thinking of those things. And so we'll keep moving forward with that. It's going to provide a tool to help increase efficiency, hopefully return some bandwidth to some people. And so there's no agenda here to reduce the size of our faculty and staff. We're always hiring more people. We're trying to increase that as well. And so I want you to be prepared for a rapidly changing marketplace. Here's what I'm hearing when I talk to our people in career services. Here's a quote from a VP at JP Morgan. This is coming whether you like it or not. Faculty and staff are eliminating jobs for students if they do not teach their students how to use it. Here's another quote. We expect everyone to have some level of competency for AI. Now, you may have been told at some point in time, just don't use it, don't touch it, don't mess with it. We're at a point where it's going to be here. It's like the internet of old. I could take time and walk you back through decisions that were made when we went to Cedar Neck Network. I'm not going to spend our chapel time together doing that today. But we do have to think biblically about this. And so we do have concerns. At some point, not today, I want to walk through these with you. I just want to walk through some of the biblical principles that we have starting off. Now, listen, this is a draft. This is not the end of the discussion. It's just, how do we think about this? So somewhere early in the semester, probably as a portion of the Q&A chapel that we're going to do here in a couple of weeks, I want to walk through some of these. Because here are some concerns I have right out of the gate. If you think that, some people in our world do, that AI eventually allows you to live forever. They're uploading all of their thoughts into AI and their personality into a chatbot because they believe they can live forever in an artificial intelligence arena. It's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there's something distinctly human about us. We are created in the image of God. And right now, society's going to be questioning, what does it mean to be human? Can you do it with artificial intelligence? And I think the answer to that is no, you cannot. I don't think artificial intelligence can worship God like we can. We're His creation. We need to worship God. I think we need to value other humans because they are created in the image of God. And so one of the things that will put you far ahead of most people in the workforce is if you can look somebody in the eye, have an intelligent conversation with another human being, not stare at your phone the entire time, shake their hand and interact with them in an engaging way, you're going to be ahead. And so one of the things we have to press into is just because we have the technology doesn't mean we need to be on the technology all the time. We engage with real human beings because human beings have souls. Those souls are going to last forever in heaven or in hell, and we need to share the gospel with them. So it's a critical portion of being a Christian to learn how to interact with others. Another concern. Work is good. It was created before the fall for Adam to tend the garden. Work is not bad. And so if you're using AI or anything else to be lazy, that's a spiritual issue. If you're using it as a tool to help further yourself, if you're developing your critical thinking skills so you know when it's hallucinating or when it's giving you good data, and it does, it hallucinates. So you need to have critical thinking skills and be sharp so that you're working hard so that you have it as a tool and as a resource that it then helps you. And so make sure you're still training your mind. Make sure you're still working hard. You're embracing that. You want to know one of the saddest things? I was reading I think it was Wall Street Journal or New York Times one. It was an article saying the number one use for ChatGPT is relationships. People are actually so lonely in our world that they're talking to chatbots as their friends. So let me challenge you. Make some new friends. Get out of your comfort zone. If you're a junior, senior, sophomore, you're the extrovert, your friend group's set, invite some new people into your friend group. You know, it's so easy for us to say, I got my boys. I got my squad. I don't need anybody else. But you know what? They can enrich your life and it can benefit them. And so I would just say to you, let's look out. Core values, love God, love others. Loving others is making sure we're looking out for those that we can minister to, speak an encouraging word to, develop a friendship with. And then we have excellence and effort. Well, that's work is good. We're gonna press into that, and then integrity in our conduct. When we use it, we say we used it. Your faculty members are gonna have to figure this out. They're gonna have to give you guidance on when you can. Some of your assignments may shift over time. I don't know how all that's gonna work out. I'm not smart enough to figure that out, but I have confidence that they are, and so they'll engage in this. And then I wanna say to everybody, we're approaching this in humility. Like, I know how little I know, and I don't know what I don't know. And so we're trying, we're gonna make an effort, we will make some mistakes along the way. But just like I tell you in the Christian life, when you blow it, what do? You get back up and you keep going. You lock arms and you keep moving forward. You're gonna mess up, we're gonna mess up, but not trying is not an option. And so we wanna pursue this in the right way. Are we comfortable with that? Are we good? Okay. Yeah, most everybody that I've talked to is really positive about it. So I'm just trying to make sure you understand what we're after. The reason to do this is because I don't believe it's going away. And number two, I believe the people who you're gonna be interviewing with for jobs at graduation are gonna demand some level of knowledge with it. And if I don't believe it's going away and I believe you need to have some level of knowledge with it, then the call for me is to go ahead and jump in. Go ahead and get the best minds thinking about how to do it wisely, biblically, and rightly. And then let's go. And so that's what we're gonna try to do. Forgive me if we mess up along the way, and we probably will. And please don't use chat for things you shouldn't. It's not a counselor. It's not gonna help your mental health. It hallucinates and tells you things. It's not a doctor. Like, go see a human being if you're having questions about things that really matter. All right, there's a session for you, because I said not only access, but also education. And I made them put the things they're gonna talk about so you would know. So if you already know how to do all this stuff, that's fine. You can still go, but there's gonna be popcorn provided. And so today, 1 to 2 and 3 to 4 in the event rooms, popcorn provided. Introduction to getting the most out of ChatGPT, including intermediate topics like changing GPT's behavior, projects, and creating GPTs. I actually created my own GPT on Joshua this summer with help. It was fun. Y'all probably already done it. I get it. Y'all were using Quizlet to do study guides like last year and 2 years and 4 years ago. How many of you were using Quizlet to create your own study guides? Yep. And so all this is gonna do is eventually when we get it tapped in, it's just gonna make your life easier. Future prompt engineering, hackathons. I don't have a clue what that is. I'll find out. Data manipulation. That sounds bad, but I'm sure it's good because they're gonna talk to you about how to do it. And so don't manipulate people, just manipulate data. All right. Sign up for a D group. If you're worried about brain rot, this stuff's gonna destroy my spiritual health, sign up for a D group, it'll help you. Freshmen especially, sign up for a D group. All right, heads up. Don't get caught by surprise. You do have to have a parking permit. If you register by Friday, August 29th, and actually go pick up your permit, you get a 50% discount. It's regularly $100. So here's my argument to you. You get a 50% discount if you register early. If you get caught, you're gonna get a $50 ticket. You will get caught before the semester is over. So the finances and the economics of this are get registered. It's a lot cheaper than getting caught. All right, so that's what we need you to do. Repeat failure ends up in a boot. Nobody wants a boot. It's not really a boot either. Y'all know what I'm talking about, though. Like, they put the thing on your wheel. It's just, it's just bad. All right, so don't do that. Like, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. All right, so we've got chapel coming up. We've got Christopher Yuan's going to be here again in chapel. Y'all are gonna love Jimmy Scroggins, who will be speaking tonight at the Bible conference. He is a bundle of energy as well. Exciting, engaging, biblically faithful. You don't wanna miss Bible conference this year. And then we also have some others coming in. Matt Papa will be here early in the semester. He'll be doing an evening worship concert as well. We've got Alistair Begg coming in for 2 days. We have Rosaria Butterfield in for 2 days. We've got some usuals that we have. Trevin Wack, Sam Alberry will be back. Garrett Kell will be here. We've got some unique surprises like Jack Phillips, the cake baker from Colorado, will be here for 1 day. We'll talk to him. So we've got a really exciting chapel lineup. So this is going to be really fun. So I'm looking forward to chapel. I hope you are. All right, let me remind you of a few things before I talk to you about Mark for just a minute. We want to treat each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to make sure if we're in a relationship with somebody, we leave them better than we found them. We want to make sure we're doing things in a God-honoring way because our core values are to love God and to love others. But we realize we're fallen, sinful human beings, and sometimes things happen. So if something happens, you need to report it to our Title IX office. Sexual discrimination, harassment, violence, dating abuse, stalking. So how do you do that? Well, if my slide will go forward, I will show you exactly how to do that. Here you go. You have a phone number around the corner here in the DMC. It's just around this way. On the outside is an office. You can also email and you can make reports of incidents. We have a great team that loves you deeply and they will deal with these things in the right, appropriate manner. So enough said on that. All right. Chapel, Wednesday, August 27th. Joy, my wife, down here on the front row, wave at everybody. She and I are going to do a Q&A, but I'm probably also going to use part of that chapel time to talk to you about some of the biblical principles on AI. And so we'll probably do a mix up of both of them on that particular day, but I think we're going to have some time for questions. So I need you to email the questions. Because if you don't email them, I have to make them up, and that's not near as much fun. So if you have questions for me or for her, email your questions to questions@cedarville.edu. And we won't be able to answer them all, but we'll pick some of the themes, and we'll answer those. All right. We are going through the book of Mark. That's what I'm going to walk through this year. So, how many of you know what that is behind marked by Jesus? Very good. It is an ichthus. So, what is an ichthus? If it's going to be on a t-shirt and it's going to be on banners, you need to know what it is. So, it's pronounced ichthus. It's a transliteration of the Greek word for fish. It looks like a fish. So, okay, that makes sense. Sweet. Mark 1:17. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There's all sorts of other things. You think about Peter and the call of the disciples, put out the nets and the nets are bursting. You think about him after he denied Christ and there's fish. Like there's fish involved all throughout the Gospels. And so you can kind of see how this would be in that vein. There's also some in church history that actually tie this back to baptism because in baptism, you're going into the water and coming out of the water. I guess they think fish go in the water and come out of the water. And so they tie it to baptism as well. But what does it actually mean? In Greek, the five letters form an acrostic. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. Solid. I like that. Now, don't put legs on it and put a bumper sticker on your car or do anything goofy like. Don't put it on your back of your car if you drive like I do. All right? I'm just saying. Be a good witness. Yeah. Tertullian refers to Christians as little fishes after the example of our ichthus, Jesus Christ. Clement of Alexandria also refers to this. It was used during the persecutions. Here's what they would do. At least this is what history says they would do. I don't know if this is legend or if this is real because I wasn't there. But they would walk up and they would meet somebody. And when they would meet somebody, hey, how you doing? And you could take your foot and you could draw a partial fish in the sand. Well, if the other person that was meeting you looked down and saw you drew a partial fish in the sand, they could be like, I'm doing really good. How are you? And they could draw the other half of the fish, and then you would know I'm actually talking to a follower of Christ. And so instead of dying for my faith, we can have a conversation about how much we love Jesus and we're not going to be persecuted. And so it was a mark that was utilized to say, I'm a disciple and a follower of Christ. And so that's one of the reasons I really like having it in here. And so we'll have some t-shirts. We'll have some banners around campus. We'll put those up. I like stickers. Y'all know I like stickers. We'll have stickers. I I don't know that the stickers will look just like this, but we'll have stickers. All right, I'm not gonna spend too much time on this because my time's running out. These are some of the themes we're gonna walk through. Here's the deal, when you encounter the Gospel of Mark, it's the shortest, it moves quickly. The word immediately shows up over 40 times. It's not so much about Jesus's teaching as it is about Jesus's action. And so it shows him as a man of action, a man on the move. It begins in verse 1 and it tells you right up front, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then you move into the baptism and Jesus says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And you begin walking through and all the demons testify, we know who you are, you're the Son of God. And this is his point. All throughout is to tell you Jesus really is the Son of God, y'all. And so he goes through this and then you get to the point where he asked for, who do people say that I am? Well, why is that question in the middle of the book? It's not accidental, it's intentional. And when they say, well, people say this and people say that, and then Jesus asked the pointed question, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. And that's the confession that then marks the middle and starts moving towards the cross. And when you start moving towards the cross, you get to the accusation of the trial. And at the accusation of the trial, what they're going to accuse him of is, do you say you're the Son of the Beloved? Well, beloved, because they don't use the name of God. The real question there is, do you really believe that you're the Son of God? And the answer is yes. And so then you go to the cross. And the Son of God dies on the cross in my place and for my sake, same to you. So he's not just the Son of God for the whole world. He is the Son of God for us individually. And Jesus is that great gift that died in our place and for our sake so that we could be united to our Creator, forgiven of our sins by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And what Mark does at the end of this is he takes a Roman soldier who knows nothing, and he looks up, and at the way Jesus dies, he said, surely this man is the Son of God. Beginning to end, it's there. So do you know him? I'm sure you know of him. I'm sure you know of Jesus, the Son of God. But that's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking if you know the historical facts about a person. I'm asking, do you have a relationship with him? Is your life different because you have the gift that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in your life? Are your thoughts about Jesus, that he's a genie in a bottle to make your life better? Are your thoughts about Jesus that you're gonna take your grand plans and go to Jesus and say, Jesus, make these happen for me? Because that's not the real Jesus. Or are your thoughts, I'm gonna take up my cross and whatever that means, I'm gonna follow my Savior wherever he takes me and whatever he calls me to do, because he is the ultimate gift and my obligation is just to lay my life down. And I'll tell you, some of you are working so hard to be accepted, but it's not by works, it's by grace. And it's not until we lay down our life that we actually find it. It's not till we learn that it's not about sitting on his right hand or his left hand, but it's about serving others. And this is the kingdom flipped upside down. This is greatness redefined. This is where Jesus says, we're not to lord over others, we're to serve others. And when we start serving other people, we understand that there's great joy in that. We understand we're not nearly as bad off as we thought we were. When we scroll on the gram, we start looking at everybody else's life and thinking, oh, mine is horrible. Mine is horrible. I can't do this. It's their best picture. They give you one picture a week. They had one fun thing that happened in 7 days, and you're comparing your life and every dull moment to everything that happened in everybody else's best moment in a whole week. And what you really need to do is just put it down and start serving others. Gosh, when we are others focused rather than inward focused, the joy, the meaning, the purpose flows. So if you're there and you know about a Jesus, but you're not in the Word daily, you're not meditating on the Word day and night, you don't have that relationship with Jesus, my challenge to you all year is, who is this man? Who is the guy that came to earth that when he stands on the waters and he says, stop it,
they cease. Who's the guy that takes a few fish and a few loaves and begins breaking them and they take up 12 baskets full? Who's the guy who goes to a cross and lays down his life for us? Oh, this is cool. I gotta stop. I have time. We'll get there. At the baptism, the heavens are rended open. Spirit descends in the dove. God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. At the cross where Jesus dies and he yells out and he says, it is finished. That veil that separates us in the Holy of Holies from top to bottom is rendered open. And now we have access to our Creator through Jesus Christ, our mediator. Do you know him? Personally, intimately. Have you committed your life to his will? Not trying to bend his favor to your will. Because if we have, we'll be marked by Jesus. We're gonna have some fun. All right, a couple of books I want you to know about, and then I'll quit. Rooted in Truth, John Wood, Trent Rogers, down here, wrote a book. I encourage you to get a copy of it, read it. It answers life's questions for college students. So if you have questions, read the book. If you have more questions, read the book again, and then go talk to them about it, and they'll answer all your other questions. If you are not in the Word, this is a 52-week devotion based off of last year's sermon series. So you can get a refresher or new. If you weren't here, it's just devotions. Listen, my preference for you is to be in the Word. If you're not in the Word and you have trouble getting stuff out of the Word, do something like this to supplement. I want you in the Word. I want you listening to the Word. I want you memorizing the Word. I want you meditating on the Word. But if you're not in the Word, do something to get in the Word. All right, Jimmy Scroggins, he's here. He's coming. It's tonight. It's gonna be awesome. Be here. I'm gonna pray for you. Then we're gonna sing one song and then we're gonna let you go, all right? Are you guys ready? Let's do it. Dear Lord, we come to you knowing that we have issues. Lord, our sin nature, after we're saved, we call it the flesh. Lord, it tempts us. And Lord, there's so many times where we do not do the things we wanna do. We don't follow you, we don't pursue you, we don't read our Bibles like we want to. There's so many times, Lord, we do things we don't wanna do. There's temptations that come that we know are not good for us. And yet, Lord, we still give in to them. So Lord, would you, by the power of your Spirit, would you just protect this place? Would you protect our students? Would you help all of us to pursue you? Would you give us strength by the power of your Spirit to follow you and pursue you? And Lord, would you help us to know you? To know you better? To ask ourselves the question, who is this man? To pursue who you are in your word. And Lord, would you help us in spirit and in truth to glorify you, to praise you, to worship you, for you are worthy. You are the Son of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.